word shall fell him. I was reminded while we were singing that of Revelation chapter 12. And it's such a good word, especially in the darkness and the what's going on in the world right now. It's very easy to get overwhelmed, to be afraid. And the enemy has power. And Jesus has defeated him. Just want to remind you. Revelation 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day 3,000 souls. 3,000 people confessed in Jesus. And we have in these next verses that are so profound. And what is a church supposed to be? What did a church look like when a church didn't exist? This is it. And what are some characteristics that God is calling us to be right now? I think it's in these next five verses, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Wow. Wow. When I look at just the grammar of that in the Greek, there are no aorist. There are no past tense verbs in there. They're all participles, or they're all imperfect, which means it wasn't just something that they did once. It was something that they did continually. They continually did it, and they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves, and there's four things that they devoted themselves to. That little Greek word devoted, that little Greek word, does anybody else have a translation of what that word, how their translation translates that word? They devoted themselves. One of the things that little word means, makes me smile, is they persisted obstinately. They were persistent. They persisted obstinately. I love it, Mary, that you're smiling, because you're somebody that Mary Cruz is a tenacious person. I love that about you, Mary. You're tenacious. And Mary, I think you're persistent. And that's something that comes from the Lord, because some of us get lazy. Some of us just want to give up. But that little word persistent, obstinate, they were diligent. They didn't give up. They kept going. They devoted themselves. There was I wouldn't say a stubbornness, but there was a commitment. They were devoted people, and they devoted themselves to four different things. The first is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Presbyterians use that word. I went to a Presbyterian seminary, predominantly Presbyterian, and they would talk a lot about catechesis. But catechesis is a process of learning. And in that would be for young Christians, sometimes it's for children, young people. But in the early church, every believer, this happened in the first century, I think it started fading out by the second century, but there was a process of catechesis. And so people that were coming to Christ, they would begin, it was a year long, they would begin a year long learning process, because they were coming to Christ from a Greek culture, some of them. They had no worldview. Their worldview was completely pagan, and they were worshiping other gods. That was not anything biblical. And so it was a process of learning about Jesus, of learning about the Bible. It was a process of prayer, because they were coming to Christ with all these idols. And so it was this process. And that's one thing that's been lost to us in the modern church in the United States. I didn't go through a year-long catechesis process. The best that happened to me was I remember I pastor's class, and then I could become a member. And I remember nothing about that. I don't remember a thing. I just remember being a little embarrassed and having to stand up in the church and answer a question. I was terrified. But I don't remember anything about that. But it's something that's been lost, and I think we would do well to go back to that, because we've got people that will come to an altar or, you know, maybe say a prayer, and they claim Christ, but they don't know anything about doctrine. They don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about the Bible. And it says here that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. There was something that happened to them when they encountered Holy Spirit that day. When they were cut to the heart, they were convicted. When they were born again, there was something in them. They wanted the Word of God. There was a hunger in them, and they began to hunger for the Word. And so they devoted themselves. Peter and the apostles were teaching, and they were soaking it up. They wanted to learn, and they were coming and having their mind be renewed. Repent, and they were repented and be baptized. Most of us have heard this, but I think we need to hear it again fresh because of the culture that we're living in. Repentance, the Old Testament view of repentance means changing direction. You're walking, you're doing one thing, but you change direction and you start doing something else. You're living in sin, you're going to turn and you're going to live a holy life. But the Greek view of repentance is that we need our minds renewed. We are bombarded with worldview on TV. We're kind of, I hate to say the word programmed, but we kind of are, because we have hours and hours and hours of listening to worldviews, and we need to let our mind, Romans 12 says we have to have our minds renewed by the scriptures. We need to have a biblical worldview. That's not going to happen reading a little devotional just 2 minutes a day. We need to be in the Word. We need to surround ourselves. We need to have biblical teaching. That's one of the things I feel like God's gifted me to do, is teach the Bible. And you need to listen, and you need to follow other people, that trustworthy people that will teach the scriptures, teach good doctrine. And they devoted themselves, persistently obstinate. They were going after it. They wanted to learn, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And the second thing is they devoted themselves to fellowship. A little word for koinonia. That little word means that there's a close association. It's not just a superficial fellowship. It's really getting to know one another. It's really walking through life together. It's bearing one another's burdens. It's praying for one another. It's having fellowship, true fellowship with one another. I went to Peoria this weekend. I found out late about it. It was the convening conference for the Global Methodist Church. It was up in Washington. That's not far from Peoria. And I found out late about it. I wasn't going to go. I don't like doing things on the weekends when I have to preach on Sunday, because I'm not a very good multitasker. I focus, and if I'm distracted, it just takes energy from me. Being around crowds takes energy from me. And so I'm very careful on what I do on Friday and Saturday nights. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to go. I can't preach on Sunday if I go. But I just felt like I just wanted to go and check it out. You know, we've been hearing a lot about it. I've been reading a lot about it, as of you. And I'm like, I am a person that you can tell me about something, but I'm a feeler. And I want to go and just get a feel of what it feels like. And I went up there on Friday, and I kind of waffled between what they begin to do is they prayed, they asked Holy Spirit to come, to just come. And then they were quiet, and they let him come. And you could just feel him enter the room. And there was just a peace that came. And then we started worshiping Jesus. We just started worship. They started with over 1,000 tongues to sing. The Great Wesley, over 1,000 tongues to sing. And then we did a concert of prayer. And it was, there was a Filipino that prayed, and I don't know what actual language he was speaking, but it wasn't English. And there was a man from China that was speaking, and then they would translate it. And then they again prayed in English, but it was so incredibly beautiful, so incredibly refreshing. And I honestly didn't know what to do with that. Because I don't have a paradigm for that at a conference, Methodist conference. And as I heard the people speak, the humility, the gentleness, the openness to the Spirit that was there was really refreshing. And one of the things that they talked a lot about was changing culture. And when you come from a culture, those of you that are in business, you know, you hear about that, changing a business culture. When you change a culture of a church, when you change it and you're starting something new and you want to change the culture, that takes time, because all of us come in with stuff. All of us come in with maybe hurt, bitterness, anger, and you come in with stuff. But one of the things that I experienced over the last 2 days, and it's just going to take me time to process it, is koinonia, fellowship, true fellowship. I have not had that in a really long time. With peers, with a denomination, I have not had that. It's been very lonely. It has been very hard. And that's one of the things that happened when these young believers came together. There was koinonia. There was fellowship. There was, they talked a lot about trusting one another. Hebrews 12 for you, because it's a word for us right now. And Hebrews chapter 12, therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one black sludge that's on us, any unforgiveness that we need to get rid of, that we would get rid of that. And we would let the life-giving power of His Spirit come and refresh us and encourage us so that we could move forward in love, so that we could move forward. One of the things that often gets looked over, and we're going to see this next week in Acts chapter 3, and I love this, it says, awe. Awe came upon them. Awe. Awe. by the power